Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our question and answer series, I finished answering the fourth question. So listen as we go on to the next question today.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Okay, let's go on to our next question. It says, Dear Pastor Bloom, I hope you have a grandson who will follow in the pulpit and teaching of the Word of God as you have. I know the strong stands you take. You must have had many angry words thrown at you, along with threat. Is it possible that a biography of your life has been written? They go on to say, and evidently they were somehow in line with Jack House. His brother House used to say that he was the guard dog of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and House Anderson College, for the exact same reasons you preached about people who come in unawares, acting as they hold to your doctrines and standards, only to get in and try to cause change within through rebellion against the preached word of God. We used to get some wacky kids every now and then with strange fire and wacky people, and that had to be nipped in the bud right away in our church. So I appreciate that. Now, they go on to say the greats took stands and they had to pay for it with Satan, but they are the ones we read about in classes from their biographies. They are ones who made a difference in America, sometimes the world, because they took stands on the word and separation. I'm glad that you are a pastor who takes a stand. You're so unafraid. May the lamp and light continue to reach around the globe for the glory of God. Well, I get an answer. I appreciate the kindness they had to say that, but I think a biography of me is when I happen. I want, they said, would they like for a grandchild? Do I have a child or grandchild coming up after me? Look, I want my children and grandchildren to be fully dedicated and consecrated to God. It's up to God to call them to the ministry, not me. I want God's man to follow me, and that may be sooner than later because I am 70 years old, but I want God's man to follow me, God's choice. But I do want my children, grandchildren to be fully consecrated to God. Now, I found that it is rare throughout the Bible and church history that a son or grandson follows a preacher. One thing that is not inherited is the call of God or spiritual gift. Those things come from God. It takes commitment to read and meditate in the Word, then to stand for the Lord, and then withstand the attack of the devil. We see that in Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 13, where he says, having done all to stand, withstand. And so that's what we try to do, is withstand the attacks of the devil. I found that many who have taken a stand could not withstand, for they stood in their own power. As Paul the Apostle, who called himself a preacher, and especially me, myself, we must pray for boldness and have people backing us up with prayer, praying God would give us both utterance, that is, that power that does not allow anyone to be indifferent to the Word of God, but that He would give us power of utterance and boldness. Anything good that has ever been accomplished in the ministry, and I've had over 40 years in full-time ministry, is from the Lord. Anything I did on my own is vain and failure. Outside of a daily walk with God, I am doomed for failure. Through a daily walk with God, He guarantees victory. So I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," at the end of my journey, not "saved so as by fire." I read in Psalm 73 this morning how discouraged the psalmist was over the prosperity of the wicked. Well, his problems just seemed to grow. That was the first 17 verses that he talks about those things. And then the verses 18 through 28, he thinks of some other things. And let me just read that to you, because in verse 14 of Psalm 73, I'll start there. "For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou hast set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terror. As a dream when one awake, so, O Lord, when thou awake, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh, my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy work." Now, I think of Jesus when I look at that. I just think of Jesus Christ and His humanity on the cross. He endured the suffering and despised the shame. He could not have any grace ministered to His humanity, as happened in the garden when He was being tempted and tried there. He just couldn't have any grace ministered to His humanity, because He was bearing the sin of all of us. All of us. He's bearing our sins. If it had grace, then He doesn't bear all of our sin. Yes, in the garden, angels were sent to Him. That was grace. In 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, angels were ministered to Him. That was grace. But for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. No grace for His humanity. The joy of the Lord, my friend, is our strength. That's what He taught us on the cross, is that for the joy set before Him, He endured. He despised the shame, as a matter of fact, but He endured. And that was in His humanity. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I think even of men and women who were burned at stakes, tortured, tortured to death over a period of days. Down through the church age, so many accounts seem to radiate the joy these Christians had even at death. The Colosseum in Rome saw many they viewed as they viewed the Christians being fed to lions. And those viewers would repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as they saw the peace and joy in the demeanor of these Christians who were being devoured alive by lions. Jesus demonstrated for us faith on the cross and the power of our finding joy in the Lord. The world only has joy as long as the events in which they find joy don't fade nor lose their luster. But the joy of the Lord is not in circumstances. The joy of the Lord is in His person. That is why we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, yes, my friend, when I read the torture and suffering of many throughout the church age, and then think that the greatness of suffering that they suffered will seem minute in comparison to the greatness of the glory of heaven, and a glory that will never fade away. Oh, that tells me I need just to get to know my Lord and His Word so much the more, so that I know His person, His will, and His instructions and commands for living. In America, we have not been persecuted beyond words, and for the most part, I think violence is just around the corner. And that could keep people from God's house. But remember, 1 Peter 4:17, judgment begins at the house of the Lord. One thing I can say, every pastor needs a church member, as yourself and your family, who are encouragers. Your ministry, I'm sure, has been a blessing to many. And I sign my name with Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So when we look at a thing like that, and again, I don't want people to try to glorify me because I'm not worth being glorified, to be quite honest with you. But I sure do appreciate it when people are there and they pray for us and they back us up with much prayer. Then that means a whole lot to me.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website, and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.com. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on His firm foundation.